Good morning. How are you? Good. Hello, online. How are you doing? And children, how are you doing today? It's okay. Some children in here. Good to see you. Some older children in here, right? I think we should stop calling them senior citizens and just call them senior children. That's probably what we should do. So, hey, everyone, welcome. So glad that you're here, and we're going to continue our series called Pivotal Moments. We've been going through this for a few weeks now, and it's this series on how we find our footing to move forward, right? 2020 is ending. 2021 is about to begin. And so what footing can we find to move forward? What footing can we find that will be secure, that will be strong, that will not fail us? And so we've been looking through the scriptures, and we started with the story of Joseph. And Joseph, we could trust that even though it's bad, it's all good. We had said that, right? Pastor Tim spoke a few weeks ago, and he had talked through the story of Joshua and Caleb, and he had said that even though in our fear, we can trust that God will provide what we need for every obstacle, right? And then last week, we looked at the story of Esther, and we had said that maybe you are the right person in the right place for such a time as this, right? We had said that. And I was really encouraged because last week after that sermon, I got a lot of emails from people just saying how challenged they were, how encouraged they were. And I got a lot of great emails from people who were saying things like, I really need to get in the game. I need to get off the couch when it comes to my faith, and I need to engage. And I was so encouraged to receive all those emails. And today I want to tell you this, you have to stop. Yeah. Today's message is you have to shut it all down. I know last week I told you to engage, but this week just stop, okay? And I'm sure you know me by now that there's a catch to this, so we'll get to that later. But just put in your mind that I need you to shut it down today as we look at this next pivotal moment. And we're going to be in the book of Philippians. So if you want to turn to Philippians, that's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, it's in there. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and this church is struggling. This church has some struggles. In fact, they're struggling to overcome their struggles with which they're struggling. And so Paul is going to write to them, and he's going to give them some encouragement. And I want to talk to you about struggle. Let's jump out of Philippians for a second. I want to talk to you about real struggle. And you might understand this if you have small children. I have a three-year-old. And that struggle, because he's in this phase where he believes that he's a big boy now. He's in the big boy phase. Any three-year-olds in here? Anyone? I thought you were three. You look like a big boy. So my big boy insists on doing everything on his own now. Everything. He likes to eat soup, and so he wants me to let him make soup on the stove with the flame. Now, I don't let him do that, okay? Before you think bad of me, I don't let him do that. I help him, and I let him dump the seasoning packet in, but he tends to miss, and it goes all over the stove. But he's a big boy. He struggles. He insists on dressing himself, which is interesting, because sometimes when he puts his shirt on, he gets his head through the sleeve, and then he gets his arm through the head hole. Sometimes he can't even find a hole, and he just has a shirt over top of his head, and he just starts crying because he can't find his way out. Struggle. Struggle. The best, though, is when he tries to use the bathroom on his own. I've let him do that a couple of times because he insists, because he's a big boy. And so he goes upstairs, and he gets into the bathroom, and I'm downstairs because I'm not even allowed upstairs now because he's such a big boy. I have to stay downstairs. And I'm down there for a few minutes, and I hear something that sounds like a small cry for help, maybe a whimper, maybe it's a whiffle of tears. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But then it gets louder, and I finally go upstairs, and my three-year-old is standing feet first in the toilet bowl. Now, look, I don't know how you use the bathroom at home. I don't even want to know. But that boy was feet first in the toilet bowl. I said, son, if you would just let me help you, You see, I'm kind of experienced, right? As his dad, I have some experience in life. Like, I got myself dressed this morning. Do you believe that? And I had no problems. I had no problems. And I wish that my son, who's 3 and a big boy, would sometimes just say, "Dad, you know what? I'm not that big. If you could just help me, that would be great." And I would love to do that for him. And so now we have this church in Philippi. And they're having their own struggles. And now they're not having bathroom struggles, okay? They might. It's not in Scripture. We don't know. I don't know. But these aren't the struggles we're going to talk about today. And the Apostle Paul is going to share something with them. And as we go through the book of Philippians, not all of it, some of it, as we talk about the church in Philippi, you might resonate with some of these struggles. You might see yourself in this same situation. Or maybe if it's not the same situation, you might see yourself having the same emotions or feelings. And if you're watching online, if you've gone through a struggle or you're in a struggle, could you just give me a thumbs up? And it's not thumbs up because you're excited, but just thumbs up because you can resonate. Kids, if you've ever had a struggle, a thumbs up. Have you ever struggled with anything, kids? None of the kids? What about my senior kids? Have you ever struggled with something? Okay. I think we all have a thumbs up because life and circumstances are sometimes difficult. And that's the book of Philippians, and that's what Paul is going to write about. So Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 27 through 30. We're just going to let you know, give you a glimpse into what's going on to the church. Paul visited Philippi in about 50 AD. You can read that in Acts chapter 16. But here's what Paul says in verses 27 through 30. "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." This church is facing some discord. There's some disunity. There are some disheartening circumstances. There is opposition, and they are afraid. We're not done yet, because Paul's going to describe their circumstances in a different way. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this about the church in Macedonia, which Philippi would be a part of that region. He says this, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." And so Paul describes the Philippian church, the churches in Macedonia, with two phrases: severe trial, which is this affliction and persecution, these pressing moments. And then it also, he uses the words that they had this poverty that was extreme. The phrase extreme poverty means this. If you could imagine looking down into a deep, dark well and not being able to see the bottom, and then imagine yourself falling into that deep, dark well and being down at the very bottom and looking up and not even being able to see the light at the end of that tunnel. That's the kind of poverty that this church is going through. And now Paul is going to write the rest of the book of Philippians into this situation where the church in Philippi is almost in this deep, dark hole. So what does Paul have to say to them? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 right now. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I'm going to read them, and then we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about what Paul shares with this church that is in a deep, dark hole. And it says this, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." Verse 11, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." And so Paul now is writing to this church, and they've had this disruption. They've had a good relationship. The church in Philippi has supported Paul both financially and emotionally and encouraged him. But there's been this disruption, and now they get to come back together. Not physically, but now their encouragement and the gifts that the Philippians are giving are back, right? And Paul's thanking them for sharing in his circumstances. But then he says something really interesting in verse 11. He says this, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content." So despite what Paul was going through, despite what was going on in the world and the oppression against Christians at that time, Paul didn't really need anything from the Philippians. He didn't need anything. He had this thing called, what is it in verse 11? Contentment. He had this contentment. So no matter what was going on, Paul had this contentment, and contentment is something that is on the inside. It's not an external circumstance that can affect your inward spirit. That's what Paul's saying. I have something inside of me that does not depend on the outside world. I have something inside of me that the outside world cannot give me. In fact, this word is so interesting that it's only used one time in the Bible, and it's used here. This thing, this inner peace, this inner serenity, this inner contentment that Paul has is so unique that it's not found anywhere else in the Bible. In fact, it's not found anywhere else in the world, but yet it resides in the Apostle Paul. Now, don't make the mistake that Paul is relying on his own inner resolve. You probably had those moments where you've just had to tell people to suck it up, right? I know stuff's tough, but suck it up. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about Paul giving more effort and being more manly. What we're talking about is something that is so unique that it's not found anywhere else in the Bible. In fact, it's not found anywhere else in the world. It's not even human. It's otherworldly. And Paul has this inner contentment. And I have to ask myself, what has Paul gone through to make this contentment so unique, right? I mean, if Paul was in line at a fast food restaurant, they didn't have cars then, so it was just a walk-through. And if he was walking through and he didn't want pickles on his sandwich, and there were pickles on his sandwich, like, is that the kind of contentment that Paul has? He's like, well, I didn't really want pickles. I guess I can get past this. That's not the kind of contentment that we're talking about. We're not talking about pickles here. This is what Paul has gone through. It says in verse 11, let's go back to 11. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Let me tell you what Paul went through. We're going to put this on screen. You could read this in Acts 16 and 2 Corinthians 11. But here is what Paul has gone through. And here's why Paul can have this unique contentment and how special it is. Paul was stripped, beaten, and severely flogged. Did you know that Paul was in prison frequently? Did you know that he received lashes from the Jews 5 times? Did you know that he was beaten with rods 3 times? Did you know that Paul was stoned and shipwrecked 3 times? Did you know that he spent 24 hours adrift in the open sea? I like swimming, but I don't like that. He faced danger from bandits and Jews and Gentiles. Did you know that Paul often went without sleep, food, or drink? And sometimes he was cold and naked at times. And yet Paul, into this list, writes Philippians 4:11, I have learned to be content. In all of this, Paul says, I have something inside of me that is so unique and so special. We're not talking about pickles at the drive-thru. We're talking about that list that was on screen. And Paul says, I have something so unique that despite everything that I went through on that list, I'm okay. I'm okay. I would love to have me some of that. Because I am the pickles in the drive-thru kind of guy. When it's late at night and I want to sit down and have a bowl of ice cream and I open up the freezer and I pull out the carton and it feels light. Yeah. And there's only 1 spoonful of ice cream left. I have no inner contentment. I have no peace. And yet Paul, for some reason, despite everything he went through, had this contentment, this inner peace, this serenity? How can any of us handle the circumstances that we go through? Because again, if you think to Paul's list, that's probably not your list. I don't know any of you that have been beaten with rods. I've never seen any of you swimming in the open sea for 24 hours. Now, granted, you probably have your circumstances, and I don't want to downplay those because they're difficult. But in some way, what Paul went through and the peace that he has, the contentment that he has, is so incredible, and I want some of that. I want some of that. I want contentment in every situation. And Paul learned it. Paul learned it. This is what he says. I have learned it. Verse 12. Let's go and keep reading there. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. He has a secret. And he wants to share it with them. The Philippians are in a deep, dark hole. Extreme trial. Extreme hardship. And into this deep, dark hole, Paul is going to speak a secret. A secret that will help them climb out. A secret that will help them to move forward. A secret that will propel them into 2021. This secret has the idea of an initiation in some way. If you ever played college sports, you might know of some initiation rituals. And I played lacrosse in college, and when I was a freshman, one of the initiations was to shave my head. And I know that you see before you this beautiful mane of hair, but it's not that beautiful. I understand why you're laughing. It's okay. And as a freshman in college, they shaved my hair just in time for pictures. And so this is me my freshman year. Keep it down in the back there. That was a loud laugh. You couldn't hear it at home, but someone's laughing really loud at me. This is me freshman year of college. This is me after my initiation. And this was just the picture. I actually had to walk around with a lacrosse helmet on my head all day. I had to go to class. I had to go to the cafeteria. Everywhere I went, I had to wear this helmet. And so there was this initiation that we went through, and we didn't know what it was going to be. They just told us that something was going to happen, and we just had to experience it. But the great thing is at the end of the day, the captains of the team brought us into a room one by one, not to hurt us, but to pray for us. And so despite getting my head shaved and walking around with a helmet all day and some other things, it was a really neat moment for me to be initiated into the team, to become part of a team because I went through something. Now, the Apostle Paul also has a secret. He has this initiation. And so what is it? Like when I think of secret and initiation, I think of some strange people wearing some cloaks in the bottom of like a cathedral somewhere, right? That's not what we're talking about. The kind of initiation that Paul's talking about is this. This word really sets the message off for me. Okay, this word really makes the message to me. The word secret has roots in a word that means closed. Or more literally, it means this. To shut the eyes and mouth. To shut the eyes and to shut the mouth. This secret isn't an email chain. It's not a do this or don't do that. This secret is not send this email out to 10 people and then you will receive back money. This is not what that secret is. It has nothing to do with that. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's not a pyramid scheme. It's none of that. This secret, this source of Paul's contentment, the way that he gets to the source of his contentment is to do a simple thing, to shut his mouth and to shut his eyes. And maybe now when I told you earlier in the message that you need to shut it down, maybe it's starting to make a little bit more sense to you. And all that Paul went through, Paul learned to shut his mouth and shut his eyes. Paul learned when he was being beaten to shut his mouth and to shut his eyes. When Paul was hungry, he shut his mouth and he shut his eyes. When Paul was drifting in the open sea, he shut his mouth and he shut his eyes. And I think about that. When everything was falling apart, that was Paul's response, to just shut it all down. But not everything was shut down. If you think about it, when his eyes were closed and his mouth was closed, there's another organ on your face that comes to mind, right? Your ears. See, as Paul shut down his mouth and his eyes, his ears were still open. Open to what? Open to what? Maybe if Paul stopped looking at situations with human eyes and stopped trying to come up with his own human plans through his mouth, what if what he was learning in those really difficult moments with shut mouth and shut eyes was to listen? Was to listen to what God might have to say to him in that moment, right? It's the only thing left to do. So maybe there were times when Paul was getting beaten and he just disconnected and opened his ears to God. I don't know how that works, because if someone is giving me a beating, I can't imagine just shutting my mouth and my eyes and just, God, speak to me. But yet Paul was able to do that. And maybe that's the secret that Paul's talking about, that in our difficult circumstances, the most pressing of times, maybe what Paul is trying to tell the Philippians as they're down in this deep, dark hole, maybe what he's saying to them is this: just shut it down. Just shut it down and stop trying on your own to fix things. And listen to what God has to say. Paul's assuredness in this method was so astounding that if you go back to Philippians 1:21, he doesn't even care about dying. He has this contentment that is so unique, and he has discovered the secret in getting to the source of it, that he doesn't even care if he dies. He is so sure about this inner contentment because he's been shutting his eyes and shutting his mouth. And what about you and I? What if in our severe circumstances, what if in our trials and our hardships, what if you and I began to apply what Paul is teaching the Philippians? What if you and I just began to close our eyes and to shut our mouths and to keep our ears open to what God has to say? And I'm not talking metaphorically. What if we literally did that? What if we literally, in a time of struggle, in a time of hardship, in a time that was uncomfortable and difficult, what if we just shut it all down? And we just listened. I want to do that right now. I'd like you to picture a difficult circumstance. I'd like you to close your eyes and your mouth right now. And watching at home, I'd love for you to take a moment and stop. If you're getting your coffee or whatever you're doing, just take a moment and stop. And if you're watching online, would you shut your eyes and shut down your mouth? And I'm going to read scripture to you amid your difficult circumstance. I want you to listen to what God has to say to you. Here we go. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You only have to be silent. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for salvation. Psalm 62, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. Isaiah 30:15, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness. and trust as your strength. You can open your eyes. Isaiah 30:15, though, finishes this way. You can keep your eyes open, but listen, let me read it again to you. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And here's the end of that verse: but you would have none of it. But you would have none of it. We just closed our eyes, we just closed our mouths, and we opened our ears to hear the word of the Lord. But yet sometimes we would have none of that, would we? We listen and we hope and we say that we trust in God, but we don't really mean it. We have none of it. The Lord offers everything to us, and yet we would have none of it. This contentment can be yours if only what? You shut it down and stop trying on your own. Unless you shut it down and stop insisting to God that you can do it. Shutting it down does not mean that for one moment you're going to just close your eyes and your mouth and say, okay, God, what do you want? And then go do your own thing. That's not what it means. Shutting it down means that you perpetually wait on the Lord. Even when waiting seems foolish and you don't think you can wait anymore, you continue to wait on the Lord, because those who wait on the Lord, that is your salvation. That is your strength. It is not anything that you can do. And that's the inner contentment that Paul had. It wasn't anything that he done. In fact, he gave up on himself a long time ago. When the Lord appeared to him in a bright light, that was the moment that Paul said, I'm out, Lord, on myself. And I'm in with you. And Paul began to live his life in those moments of trial by shutting his eyes and his mouth and listening to the Lord and forsaking himself. And now we come to Philippians 4:13, a very well-known verse in the Bible. Paul has this secret way of obtaining contentment. And what is the source of that contentment? Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. See, Paul shut it down so that the Lord could power him up. Paul shut it down so that the Lord could power him up. I don't know if many of you play video games, but in video games, there's something called a power-up. And you might be behind in the race, or your stamina might be low, but when you hit a power-up in a video game, do you know what happens? It's very simple. You power up. That's why it's called a power-up. See, in a video game, when you're behind in a race and you hit a power-up, guess what? You go right past everyone. See, when your stamina is low in a video game and you hit a power-up, your stamina increases. When your strength is low in a video game and you hit a power-up, guess what happens? You get stronger. You see, that's how it works. But it's nothing that you can do. It's only something that you receive. Maybe Philippians 4:13 is the first video game power-up in the history of the world. I don't know. But it seems that way. You see, when we as followers of Jesus Christ, when we have these pressing and difficult circumstances, when we shut it down, when we close our eyes and we close our mouth and we begin to listen to the Lord and we wait patiently for him, God hits you with a power-up. I love it. When you shut it down, the Lord hits you with a power-up. But you have to shut it down and wait for that power-up. And sometimes you have to wait a little longer than you want to. I get that. It's a beautiful picture of Christ transferring his strength to you when we shut it down. But only when we shut it down. That's Paul's secret. Sorry, everyone. That's Paul's secret. You can't get Christ's power until you shut it down. You can't find contentment until you have the power of Christ. And you can't find that until you what? You shut it down. So as much as I told you last week to get off the couch and get in the game, this week, I'd love for you to just shut it down. I would love this week for you to email me like, Bobby, all I did was shut it down all week. I walked around with, I didn't even open my eyes all week. It was hard, but I did it. Maybe that's an extreme, but I'd love for us to shut it down this week. But then get powered up through Christ, right? You know, when you're playing a video game and that you hit that power up, it only lasts for so long. You only go faster for so long. You're only stronger for so long. But Jesus Christ, he ain't no video game, is he? Jesus Christ ain't no video game. You see, when you get that power up from Christ, guess what? Christ never ends. His power never ends. It's not like Jesus gets tired and he's like, hey, this is the sixth time this week you've come to me for a power up. I can't give you any more. There is no limit to what Christ can do for you. There's no limit to how long Christ can do it for you, as long as you shut it down and wait for him to power you up. Jesus has this unlimited power, and I want to read to you something that I wrote because I was contemplating, what kind of power does Jesus have? Like, if I'm going to power up after shutting it down, what does Christ offer? Here's what Christ offers us. He endured the threats of men and their theological challenges. He defied nature. He walked on water. He calmed the storms. He turned water into wine. He healed the sick, made the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the mute speak. He cast out demons while casting his net for the hearts of people. He miraculously fed the 5,000 and even had leftovers. He gave himself up to the will of the religious leaders, not by their choice, but by his own choice. He was beaten, mocked, spit on. He was punched, whipped, and bloodied. And then he laid down upon that cross, and he let them drive the nails through his hands and his feet. And when they finished forcing that crown of thorns down upon his head, he let them hoist his body into the air. And there he suffered. And he cried out to God. And he looked upon his mother. And then he chose to die. And he stayed that way for 3 days. And then because he could, he rose from death. He defied the mockers and the scorners. He defied the beatings, the whippings, the religious leaders. He defeated the worst that humanity could throw at him, and he defeated the worst that Satan could think of to throw at him. You see, Christ defeated death, Christ defeated sin, Christ defeated hell. And when it was all over, he emerged from that grave, from that tomb, and he probably looked upon Satan, and he probably looked upon the world and all of life's circumstances, and he probably said, is that the best you could come up with? It looks like I won. Whew. Do you understand what Jesus went through? He went through all of that. And he emerged from the grave and he said, is that the best you could do? It looks like I've won. And that is the power that Jesus offers you. If only you would shut it down. I think I'm going to shut it down this week because I don't have that kind of power. I mean, my efforts might go a little ways. Your efforts might go a little farther than mine, but I guarantee you that none of your efforts will ever get you through the difficult life circumstances. It will never get you as far as you want to go. And there's a reason for that, because you and I are not the ones who died on the cross and rose from the grave. That belongs to Jesus Christ. So are you going to choose your own vision and your own words and your own strength? Or are you going to shut it down? That's my pivotal truth for you today. It's simply this, real simple. I just want you to shut it down, and I want you to power up with Christ. I believe that's what Paul would tell the Philippians as they're in that deep, dark hole, as they're going through their circumstances in life. I believe that Paul would tell them, you just need to shut it down. And let the power of the one who conquered the grave power you up. If you're going through a circumstance and you don't know how to shut it down, you don't know how to wait for the power of Christ, I am so happy to pray with you and to talk with you. Sometimes it's easy to say things on stage and then it's hard.
hard to go home and apply them, right? Like, how do you literally apply that? How do you just wait for the power up from Jesus? And if you want to talk about that, I'm more than willing to do that with you further. I'm more than willing to pray for you. So please, if you have questions, if you're watching online and you have questions, put them in the comments or send an email, because I want to walk through that with you. I want you to shut it down, and then I want to see you powered up by Jesus Christ, and I want to see you move forward into 2021. And this is the firm footing that we would shut it down and power up with Christ. So we close out, I want to mention the hub again, as Pastor Matt did, but on the hub, sometimes we have encouraging stories or people sharing their pivotal moments. And so our children's director, Amy Griffin, has shared a pivotal moment with you, and you can watch that on the hub. And also a friend of mine, Jen Wood, a member of this church here, has done a devotional on Philippians 4:13. And so if you would like to hear Jen speak from a different perspective on Philippians 4:13, and you just want to pursue that verse a little bit more, then I encourage you to go onto the hub, and I encourage you to watch it. Watch both of those. So, can we shut it down? And can we wait for the Lord to power us up? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, wow. Can I just admit on behalf of all watching online and everyone here that we so often insist on doing things on our own. We're like little children, Lord, and we don't know how to do it on our own, but yet we do it anyway. And you are there, Father, and you know all things. You just want to help us. And yet sometimes we just say, no, it's okay, I got it. Father, today, would you help us to shut it down? Father, would today, would you help us to close our eyes and to close our mouths and to listen with our ears to what it is you are saying to us? And would we wait patiently, Lord, for the power that comes through Jesus Christ. And it's only then that we will soar on wings of eagles, Lord. It's only then that we will run and not grow weary. And it's only then that we will begin to climb out of those deep, dark holes, Lord. And so for those of us, for all of us in those places, God, would we shut it down and power up with you? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.